Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Praise God. Isn't it great to be in God's presence, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I wanted to continue with what the Lord told me to bring this year to the churches, and I'm already very encouraged by numerous things that have happened, but I want to really help us to understand that this amazing subject of the love of God is something that we need to get a proper understanding of. And last time we looked at it, and we looked at the fact that there were different types of love, all kind of use the same word in the English language, but there was this fourth kind of love that's kind of used in the Greek, the word agapeo or agape. And it means that the love that God has for us, and the quality and the intensity and the absolute magnificence of this love that God has for us, has given to us really in two understandings. One is that we must understand that it's based on fact. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whatever we talk about when we're talking about the love of God, it must always include the fact of how God has shown his love. And if you remember, we looked at that last week, so we get a correct understanding of it. But then we need to do more than that. We need to understand that God didn't just want us to experience love from a historical point of view, from an objective view, looking back in history, that we looked in Romans 5, if you remember, and it says, when we're not sure, when we have our moments on days when we wonder whether God's going to come up for us and whether God's going to work for us, whether God's going to answer prayer for us, it says we have this hope, and we're never ashamed, we're never embarrassed by the fact that God will let us down, because the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so what we have to try and grasp, and I believe, friends, which it's amazing, because I shared this at Swaffham the other week, and I'm going to share it in other places. And what I'm sensing is this, that there are those people who sit very clearly on the objective and the historic understanding of the love of God. And of course, there are others that believe, as I do, that it's not just a historic, it's an experiential understanding, a feeling of God's love that changes our lives. And if you remember, we looked and saw that in Romans 5, it says, the Holy Spirit's given unto us. So the night I was saved, the night I was filled with God's Holy Spirit, I experienced this incredible feeling of God's power and God's love. But I've come to realize this, that, see, people sometimes want the Holy Spirit, they want his gifts and they want his power, but the Holy Spirit actually always brings his love, God's love, as well as the gifts. And we'll look at that if we get time this morning. But what I want you to understand is, if you're standing in this camp that says, yes, I understand the love of God and Calvary and all that God demonstrated there for us in Jesus dying for my sins and raising from the dead to show me that factually that there's evidence there, that it's clearly that God has done this to demonstrate his love towards me even while I was a sinner, Paul says, Christ died for me when I was weak and unable to help myself. But then there's this other side. Now, I see, I believe that's where quite a number of us, and I want to say lovingly, quite a number of you, need to also bring the pendulum back the other way. Because I believe you need to have a more subjective and experiential relationship of God's love in your life. It's poured into your life by the Holy Spirit. So if you are looking and seeking for an ongoing relationship with God, it needs, as it does with human relationships, it needs an understanding that it can't just be that my wife stood in front of an altar with me 41 years ago and said, I will, there has to be a daily and an experience of the love and the intimacy from everything from her baking me cheese scones and Yorkshire puddings, right, to the intimacy of love and having children, yeah? There's got to be an ongoing experience of love. See, what I began to realize is this, that I feel the church today, in what we're heading into, because one of the other things that God is, I'm going to be bringing to you this year, is that the whole thing of, we need to say, I know what I believe, but I want it to go to another level. Does anybody here believe that this morning? That God can do something to take what you have in any place and take it to another level. And when we begin to see God working that in us, some incredible things happen. Now, just to get that point over, that we don't just think about the love of God objectively, I'm going to show a YouTube clip by a preacher called Francis Chan. And he just, in a two-minute clip, kind of makes this point and gets it over. And that's what I want to really try to get to you today. So if we can play that nice and loud, I hope the technology is working today.
Simon Says is, you know, you just, Simon Says, pat your head, you know, so okay, you know, Simon said it. It was a very simple game, but it's so weird how in the church, Jesus Says is a totally different game. If Jesus says something, you don't have to do it, you just have to memorize it. You study it, you memorize it. You guys, it doesn't make any sense, a lot of the things we do. He tells us to go out and make disciples. And how many people in our churches are actually making disciples? They memorized it. You know, I tell my daughter, hey, Rach, go clean your room. She doesn't come back to me 2 hours later and go, I memorized what you said. You said, Rach, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek. My friends are going to come over and we're going to have a study on what it would look like if I cleaned my room. She knows better than that. And so why do we think we're going to come before the judge one day and quote everything that he said and talk about how much we know? It's just this black and white stuff. If I just started with scripture, I'd go, here's what I would do. I'd start making disciples.
Okay, now that theme there was Francis is part of a disciple-making movement. But he gets the point over very clearly whether it's discipleship or whether it's any teaching or understanding of Scripture. See, it's not just knowing it in your head. And I want to say, friends, God does not only want us to have and live and know continually a psychological experience of God. He wants you to have an experiential experience of his love. In fact, I would dare to say this, that I think it's possible to have a psychological understanding of the love of God and never to have an experiential, because I believe God's transformation only takes place when the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts and the love of God is with that outpouring. So when God's love pours into our hearts, right, something actually grabs hold of us and changes us. Now, last week we were over at Swaffham. We got a lot of new people coming into Swaffham, and I'm so thankful for. But you know, God gave me an illustration last week, and it was simply this. One of the brothers who's quite a quiet brother, really. But you know, as I was speaking about it, God's Holy Spirit began to touch him. And he came forward at the end for prayer. And we just prayed together. Lord, let my brother experience the love of God. And the Holy Spirit came on him. But you know, the outworking was this. He went with great excitement to Andrew afterwards and said, I've got to do something for Jesus. How can I serve? What can I do? The love of God has touched me. And then there was another lady who, I don't want to go into details, but not sure where she was with God, really, and started coming a few weeks ago. But everybody's shown her love, and that's important, isn't it? But you know what happened when we prayed for her? The love of God went into her by the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, I could honestly say, without being rude about her, that this woman who was quite, don't you get near me, I'm all right, I'm fine, the love of God melted her heart. And without anything from us, she began to cry out, Lord, please forgive all my sins. Thank you that I feel this love. Thank you that this love is so wonderful. I'm sorry for all I've done. Repentance was flowing out of her because she was experiencing the love of God. And sometimes I think it's possible to talk to people and you could almost be talking a different language because they're talking on the cerebral, psychological level, where God wants us to also understand the experiential. And the Apostle Paul, even men who would consider themselves just evangelicals, like John Piper and others, excuse me, when they come, they say, when I come to Romans 5, I read this in one of his books. He says, when I come to Romans 5, he said, I have to move unashamedly to declare that this is not just evangelical knowledge. This is charismatic power, Holy Spirit experience of the love of God. Right? Now, one of the things we can happen to us is that we can experience it when we come to know the Lord Jesus. I remember that night. I'll never forget the night that the love of God poured into my life. All my anger and vileness and sin, all the things I'd done wrong, I just knew that Jesus had washed them all away. And I don't know how, but I went out looking at the stars and I knew God was there. And I was laughing and joking and with God because I knew the reality of him. But you know what? A while afterwards, some of you know my father died suddenly of a heart attack in my arms, and I went through quite a dip as a young Christian. My sister came home from university. She had a breakdown, and my mum was going through a terrible bereavement. And I was thinking, God, how can I explain to people how you need this love more than once? So some of you younger ones today, you won't get this hymn because you've never heard it, all right? And I know you like United Pursuit and all these house fire songs, and I do too. But the old ones have got something on them as well, all right? So I'm going to ask for a song to be played from YouTube. Thank God the first one worked. And as we play this song, I'm going to tell you what happened beforehand. What happened was, as a young guy going through all that pressure, right, all that pressure, this was one of my dad's hymns because my dad was deeply changed by the love of God, as was my grandfather. And the first time after my dad had died, I used to hear him singing this hymn all the time. Some of the words are quite poetic, not as probably as clear and as they are today in some of the newer Christian songs. But you know, the first time I heard that after my dad died, in the depths of, I can honestly say, I've never been a depressive, but that's probably the nearest I ever got to being depressed. All the burden was on me, all the heaviness was on me or whatever, that actually I was in a meeting and I heard this hymn being played. And what happened was, as I heard it, that same love of God that came on me when I got saved came on me again. Romans 5, the Holy Spirit comes once, but he pours it in. Remember the thing with the jar last week or the week before? He keeps pouring it in because we leak, and he keeps pouring it in, and he keeps pouring it in. And that, listening to that hymn, which I'm about to play you, the love of God came on me a second time And it was as powerful as the night I got saved. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that because I want you to understand the love of God is something he wants you to experience regularly in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I have found this. I have found this in human relationships. I have found that when Mary goes into one of her quiet spells, as bless her, she likes to do sometimes, right? Although as we're getting older, we appreciate when the grandchildren go home how wonderful peace and quiet is. But you know, she basically can sometimes have quiet times and whatever. But in those times that we perhaps are not talking, there will be at some time, maybe an hour or after half an hour or 2 hours or whatever, there will be a new sense of one of us saying something that exhibits our appreciation for each other, our love for each other. And if you don't do that, as many relationships sadly don't, appreciate one another and show love to each other, then a coldness can arise. A misunderstanding can start to prevail in our minds. And it's exactly the same with God. So when people say you've got to have a Bible reading, you've got to have a time of worship or whatever, they're not actually just telling you something to do so that they can put some legalistic practice on you. The key is this, that if you want to know the love of God, you've got to have a relationship with him by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And when you come into his presence, whatever you need, if you will say, Lord, I just need you today, fill me with your Spirit, with that Holy Spirit comes the love of God. So if you're a bit lacking on love, he fills you with love again. Listen, I've been in leadership nearly 40 years. I know I could never have done this. I couldn't have done this job. It's not my natural temperament as a Yorkshireman. You know, you do something stupid, that's your own jolly fault. Clear off. But the love of God don't let you do that. The love of God comes and fills us. The love of God won't let me have an argument that lasts any length of time with my wife so that we have to put things right. Why? So the love of God can come. We want to live clean and holy. We don't want to let filth of this sinful world into our lives. Why? Because we want to experience the love of God. And I could go on and on and on. But listen, friends, when we talk about the love of God, often we're just talking about how much God loves me. But God, more than anything else, wants you to experience how much he loves you. So that day when I was at my lowest, I heard this hymn. I'm going to let it be played now. Can you play that now, girls? Could you put that hymn on? You can find it on YouTube if you like it. bad for an old one, is it? But I remember listening to that, and I remember that experience happening to me. By the way, can I just say this? The reason God wants us to worship him is because God created music, not man. And when the music of heaven, the music of worship, the music of my soul joins with God's rhythms, yeah, then my emotions are affected and changed. And love affects your emotions. Yeah? That's why some people, basically, if their emotions have not been healed by the Holy Spirit, when any music starts, they often don't want to hear it. Because really, God designed worship and music to draw us into an expectation of his love. Yeah? And does that happen to you? I'm sure it happens to people here. But in actual fact, you know, you get up and you're having your time with the Lord, whenever that is, and a song comes on, and suddenly your spirit begins to rise, and you begin to worship God, and you begin to thank him, and you begin to speak in other tongues. And before you know it, well, I am anyway, I'm a big, wet, blubbering mess, because the love of God has been poured out into my heart again. See, if you've not experienced this, friend, I want to tell you, you really need to ask God to help you to humble yourself so you can come and experience it. You really do, because psychological understanding of love will never do it for you. You need the love of God to be poured out into your hearts. Now, I've only got a few minutes, so I'm not going to say all that I was going to say, but if you'd like to put the first slide on, ladies, and they're back there doing a superb job, maybe a little small that. I'm not going to read out all those, some lovely quotes from people in history and some relevant ones, even contemporary ones today. But you know, the last one that gets me is from Augustine, who was an early church father, and he said this. The last one on that screen says, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Some other good quotes there, I'm sure if you're interested, you can find them and read them. But pass on, girls, to the next one. It's what the psalmist says, as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his love for me. That's why it's got to be experienced, because you can't say these great words like that unless you're experiencing his love. Carry on. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer. Though our feelings come and go, God's love for us does not. Okay, we'll go on to the next one now and just see how far we get. I'm not in no rush. But here's what happens. Here's what God's love does in us. First and foremost, we love the Father and the Son. See, I meet lots of people who tell me that we all worship the same God. Just that you go through Jesus, we go through Muhammad, we go through Moses, we go through Buddha. But I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, a love relationship begins with the Father and the Son. Okay? With the Father and the Son. And that's what makes us distinctive from all other religions. So we can't say all other roads lead to God, because the only way to the Father is through the Son. And you have to experience the Father's love and the Son's love. Are they different? Well, no, they are the same, and there isn't theological time to perhaps expand on that. But the Father loves you in a way a father does his child. But the expression of that love is in Jesus becoming one of us. He actually knows everything we go through in life. And so what God's love does in us is bring to us a love of the Father and the Son. Remember last week I showed you that Jesus could speak to the Pharisees and he says this, I know that you do not have the love, the agape of God in you. They were all religious and they had all their knowledge of Moses. But he said, I know because you don't receive me. I know the reason is you don't have the love of the Father in you. So Jesus says, if you come to Jesus and look and experience his love, you will know the love of the Father. The Father's love will fill you. You see yourself as the prodigal coming home. You see yourself that God wants to lavish his love on you. You see yourself as somebody who can experience everything that he has for you. So we love the Father and we love the Son. Some scriptures there for you. More than anything else, friends, can I say, it's not our styles, it's not our structures that mark us out as disciples. And by the way, this is important because Jesus says in John 17, John 15 rather, verse 17, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. See, clearly a difference. You can be a believer, but some people might not be very impressed by your belief. But you know what? People are affected when they feel the love of God. Yeah? When they feel the love of God. And when that love is present, that's why I keep praying and imagining. Wouldn't it be incredible if one Sunday or in one meeting, the power of the Holy Spirit came on a whole congregation who not only experienced the power of God and his presence, but in such an equal measure experienced the freshness of the love of God. Can you imagine what would happen? Well, it tells us in Galatians 5 some of the things that happen. Because the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives that transforms us, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I was in a meeting once in Brazil where that happened, where the love of God just came on a congregation of pastors, and pastors who were not speaking to each other began to wail in the meeting. John Phillips had to stop speaking. And I had to say, what's going on here, guys? You know, get the interpreter, tell us what's happened. But these guys who had been at odds with each other, the Holy Spirit had come onto them afresh, and the love of God had poured in, and all the grievance and all the bitterness and all the nastiness, suddenly God began to touch it. One of them went sobbing over to this other pastor and got down and put his head on his lap, and they sobbed and sobbed. Only the love of God can do that. That's why, friends, families in our nation right today, with all the brokenness, it's only this level, it's only this reality, it's only this experience of the love of God's going to bring people to healing. It's not reading some new book that tells us how to do it. It's the experience a person has. It's like that lady last week. I didn't tell you to repent. I hadn't preached a message. No, but do you need to? Well, I'm sure you do, because of what I've heard, yeah, you do. But when God pours his love in, something happens and a person is transformed. And if we want to see a work of the Holy Spirit at this new level that God's preparing us for, I believe, in our nation, for the ones that Rick is seeing out on the streets and they're experiencing a touch of God, but we know many of them are coming from broken situations and messed up lives, what they're going to need is to experience the love of God. The love of God. So, it marks us out as his disciples, and you begin to love as God loves. Now, I'm going to close. It's 5 past. I'm going to close by reading you a passage of scripture today. Maybe I'll carry on next time. But listen to this. This is the word of God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and has sent his Son to be an offering, propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected, matured in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he's in us because he's given us the Spirit. Can you see there the link between the love and the Spirit? And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Do you know one of the things when you stand before God that he's going to look for is how much of his love was working? Did you ever think you might get judged on one of those factors? Oh, it's on my works and whatever. No, it's on how much of his love is in your heart. God looks and says, oh, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out, drives out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And we love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. That means if you love Jesus, you love Father. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not a burden to us. Wow. I'm going to close the meeting right now and pray. But listen, friends, I don't know where you're at today, but when I go through Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, self-control, goodness, gentleness, I know they can only be in my life and be transforming me if I am experiencing the love of God. So I'm going to invite you to come and let the Holy Spirit pour in the love of God into your life. Things that have not been dealt with, hurts that are not been sorted out. As John says here, fears about everything. I'm fearful. No, perfect love drives it all out. So I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to stick that hymn on again, if you would, girls, in a minute. Put that YouTube clip on again, if you can, when I tell you. But then the meeting's closed, then you can go off and have coffee and do. But if you want to today be prayed for, if you want the love of God to work in you what God says his love does, but you're not sure whether it is, there is a fresh outflow of divine love can be poured into you today. You come in faith, believing for it. Heavenly Father, we close this meeting now. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're here with us. Lord God, we're not just talking theory. We believe your word is full of wonderful experiential practice that your love can pour into our hearts today. Oh God, I thank you that you love us in such a way that I can know that love. And Lord, as I sang as a young child, the love of Jesus is so wonderful, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love. Lord, let it not just be out of our works and love for each other alone. Let it be flowing out of a daily, continual inflow of the love of God being poured into us, that we experience it first ourselves, and then out of that, we minister that same love to others. In Jesus' name, amen.